Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Isaiah. So I invite you to open up your pew Bibles if you'd like to follow along. Words should be on the screen as well. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let there be light. I'm sure you've heard those words before. In the beginning, when the earth was formless and empty and darkness was over the surface of the deep, God spoke. He said, "Let there be light." And there was light. We understand light a bit different now than how people in this context would have. We tend to think of light as connected to a light source, like the sun or a light bulb. Light in the Old Testament meant more than that. So perhaps it's easiest to give some examples when that's contrasted with the darkness. So I invite you to consider a baby in a womb. Baby is growing, and when baby is finally born, he or she will see the actual light for the first time. And as baby grows in the womb, he or she is in the darkness, almost darkness, for about 9 months. And then he or she gets to see the light. And what a day of celebration that is. We call it a birthday. We celebrate the first time somebody sees the light. Consider the nighttime. It's dark, and we typically go to bed. And then dawn breaks, and we wake up to light again, feeling refreshed and renewed. After a dark night, a new day is here. We get to start again. There is a newness when we see light. Consider how darkness is generally considered to be more evil. Crimes tend to happen at night, and we are often shocked to hear if someone committed a crime in broad daylight. Perhaps it's illustrated best with the movie franchise Star Wars. The dark side is evil, and the opposite is the good side. There's something good about light and being in the light. Consider someone who is believing a lie. We might say metaphorically that they're blind. Then when they do come to know the truth, we would say metaphorically, oh, they have come to the light. So light is connected with truth. And as you may have guessed already, light is also strongly connected to salvation. Do you remember the line in Amazing Grace? I once was blind, but now I see. Once I was in the dark, but then I saw the light. Being in the darkness alludes to not knowing the Lord. And we understand light to mean our eyes are open to seeing and believing and declaring that Jesus Christ is the Lord. So I'd like to look deeper in our text this morning to see what it has to say about darkness and light. Verse 2 says, the people walking in darkness. Who are the people? We can understand it to be Israel as a whole. They are in darkness. So how do we understand darkness? There are two main ways. One was what they were going through at that moment. Before I go there, we can also say that Israel in general has had a rough history. Their ancestors used to be slaves to the Egyptians, and then God, through Moses, set them free. They spent 40 years in the desert before finally reaching the promised land. They had judges and went through so many cycles of being faithful to God, not being faithful to God, being oppressed, and then being saved. They rejected God as their king, and God gave them Saul, then came David, then Solomon, and then King Rehoboam. The kingdom splits to the northern kingdom and southern kingdom. There are always issues and wars. And in this particular time, in this moment, the northern kingdom wanted to attack Judah. And not only that, the countryside of Judah wanted to attack them too. The country south of Judah wanted to attack them too. So they have two outside countries wanting to attack them, and even their own people wanted to. So can you imagine living in that kind of atmosphere? At any moment, your neighbors and distant family could come in and invade. So they were living in that kind of darkness. Darkness of fear for their well-being and fear for their lives, fear of governments and fear of with people in power. And we can also guess they're familiar with their history and what happened in the generation would still affect them in that day. Trauma and stories get passed down. So it's one way to understand the darkness they're living in, but that's not all. We are in chapter 9 in Isaiah. And reading through the first part of Isaiah, we read a lot of the rebellion of the Israelites. We read a lot about the Lord's judgment. As I mentioned earlier, God's people were so prone to apostasy. They were constantly turning away from God, constantly being unfaithful. And Isaiah, in the previous chapters, he paints this bleak picture of what is in store for what Isaiah calls the rebels. God demanded justice and mercy, and what he got was bloodshed and outcry. So we should also understand this darkness to be spiritual, rebelling against the Lord their God. So all of Israel was experiencing this. Verse 2 says, the people walking in darkness. However, verse 1 has us draw attention to the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. They're both tribes of Israel named after two sons of Jacob. So what's Isaiah doing? While all of Israel was experiencing this darkness, we can say that Zebulun and Naphtali were experiencing a deeper darkness. Of all the places in Israel, during all of those wars, Zebulun and Naphtali were hit the hardest. Those areas were especially damaged. So there's dark, and then there's really dark. For example, 2 years ago, my husband and I went to Elk Island National Park. We wanted to do a hike and then look at some stars. So near the end of our hike, we could see, but we had to be careful because it was dark. Or so we thought. When we got to the end and wanted to look at the stars, we actually had to wait even longer for it to get darker. There are different levels of twilight, and if we wanted to see the stars the best, we would have to wait for a long time for for it to get to be the darkest that it could be. There was dark for when we finished our hike, but then there was even darker, and we didn't even stick around for the really, really dark. So Isaiah doesn't just mean dark. He means the really, really dark. He points to the deepest darkness. Congregation, are you experiencing darkness? We understand literal darkness in Edmonton. We just had our winter solstice, the shortest day of the year. Winter in Edmonton is dark. We are a people literally walking in darkness. Maybe you have seasonal affective disorder, and this literal dark season is very trying on your mental health. I know some of you here, but not everyone, and there are people watching on the screen, and so I do not know all of your stories, and so I'm not sure what kind of darkness you are experiencing. I'm not sure what it is that is robbing you of celebration, of newness, of goodness, and truth. Maybe it is mental health. Maybe you're experiencing a lot of anxiety about the world right now and governments. There's a war happening in the world. Even though it's far away, it still can hit close to home. Maybe it stresses us out to hear about certain government structures in the world, even from our own context. It was a couple months ago when it seemed like everyone was getting sick. Do you remember that? About a month and a half ago or so, when a prayer group that I'm part of, we realized that even though the pandemic is mostly behind us, people still are carrying a lot of pain and bad memories or mistrust. It was a painful time, and my guess is we're still in need of healing, and it still affects us. Maybe you're experiencing darkness by events in your family. Maybe you've lost a family member this year or a friend. Maybe you're not getting along well with someone and you're not on good terms. Getting together with people you love may not be as exciting when you anticipate there could be sharp disagreements about topics. And remember, this is not the only kind of darkness. Maybe you are experiencing a spiritual darkness. Some of you listening may be struggling with believing that God exists. And a big one Christians struggle with is wondering if God really is good. Maybe some of you listening have just rejected the faith altogether and have turned away from the Lord. So some of you may be experiencing a spiritual darkness of some kind. The deepest and thickest darkness is the sinfulness in the human heart. Inside we hide what we do not want anyone else to see. I just want to spend a few minutes. I invite you to reflect on that in a few minutes of silence. I'd like us to listen to the Spirit and to see what He reveals in your hearts about what kind of darkness is there. What is robbing you of that truth and celebration and newness? So then I invite you to name that in your hearts. Name your shadows. So let's just take a few minutes of quietness and listening to the Spirit. Thank you for reflecting. I invite you to reflect further at home, have some quiet time if you need more time, because it is good to be aware of the darkness in our hearts so that we can shine light there. This is what Isaiah does too. Isaiah brings his readers in the thickest darkness. He brings them to the thickest, deepest darkness. And then he tells them the news that the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. What is this light? Because this light shatters the yoke that burdens the people. This light is a child. For unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. This child would reign on David's throne. This child would be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So this king is more than just a human being in the line of David. This king would uphold righteousness and justice. This king is everlasting. This king is God. And the greatness of his government and peace will have no end. Breaking the bondage of corrupt politicians is a great light to those living in Israel. But it is more. The reign of God is more than just political. His rule extends into all areas of life, social, emotional, physical, and of course, spiritual. This baby was expected by the Jewish people. Prophecies were spoken, and the people longed for the day when the Messiah would arrive. There'd be a spiritual renewal in the hearts of the Jewish people. God would put his law in their minds and write it on their hearts. A great light, of course, but an even greater light than they expected. The Bible doesn't say that Jesus is the light of Israel, does it? In John 8, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." I'd like to read a portion of Romans 15 to you, expressing that joy that was prophesied in the Old Testament. "As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing the praises of your name." Again it says, "Rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Let all the people extol him." And again, Isaiah says, "The root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him, the Gentiles will hope." And praise his name we do, for we are the Gentiles. And this weekend, we are celebrating his birth. Jesus Christ, the light shining in our darkness. Spiritual awakening and a light shining. Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and it is in him that we must put our hope. It is in Christ where we feel safe enough to show him the darkness that's in our heart. It is in Christ himself that we proclaim to that darkness. The light in our darkness was born as a baby. For unto us a child is born. To us here at First Christian Reformed Church in Edmonton, a son is given. He reigns and rules over all the world. Jesus is the Lord over the darkness, always. There was never a time when he was not. Here's a little twist for you. The light is always on. It always shines. And we often see it best when it is contrasted with the dark. For example, when I wake up in the morning in the summertime, it's pretty light in my house. I open up the curtains and light just fills the room. If I were to switch on a light, it wouldn't make much of a difference. I may even forget that it's on. Stars always shine. We can't see them during the day because it's too light outside. And then if we want to see them well, we have to leave the city because there's too much light pollution. And then when we do, and we can get a nice view, but if we want to see the stars shine the best, we must wait until it is the darkest. So for those of us listening who follow the Lord, we are always in this light. We are always walking in the light. We walk in the light as the shadows linger beside us. We walk in the light, though we wonder if dawn will ever break. We walk in the light despite the darkness. Darkness does not win. We are a people that declares that Jesus is the light of the world. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So today, when you celebrate Christmas, may we celebrate light. And let us declare celebration amidst sorrow. Let us declare second chances, forgiveness, healing. Let us declare goodness and truth and hope. This Christmas, let there be light. That is the end of our main Christmas sermon, but I have a little summary, shortened sermon that summarizes our text in a fun way. So we're going to end with that. The country Israel is a very big place, and Naphtali and Zebulun is a real space. They were areas damaged most severely. Wars and invasion took all they held dearly. They were living in terrible distress, feeling sad, overwhelmed, and stressed. We can imagine them crying out to God, "Please, Lord, break this oppressive rod. We have sinned. We have missed the mark. Please, Lord, we are so tired of living in the dark." Do their imaginary cries hit close to home? From Edmonton to Beijing to Rome? Seems to be no matter where, we could all have the same words to share. "Come on, God, where are you? Are you sleeping or have the flu? Awake, O Lord, why do you sleep? Don't you remember us, your sheep? Rouse yourself, do not reject us forever. Don't hide your face, no, never. Have you forgotten our oppression? Don't you see our dark, deep depression? All we're asking for is a little spark. For God, we're so tired of living in the dark." In those parts of Israel, the darkness was thick. So all the Israelites needed hope real quick. The Lord himself would give them a sign, and the words are recorded in Isaiah 9. "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom, for salvation comes to us from a womb. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is sworn. Look up and see the light, it's so pretty and bright. Beauty is in the eye of the beholders, and the whole government sits on his shoulders. So many things he can be called, wonderful counselor, we are enthralled. Mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, his supreme rule of the earth will never cease. Christ was brought up out of Galilee, fulfilling this messianic prophecy. First seer, see, these words are also for you. Isaiah 9 was written for us too. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom. A baby will be born from a virgin's womb. I invite you to fall on your knees. Everyone, listen to the gospel, please. Do you have an ear? Open them and hear. Our sin made us depraved, and our cry is to be saved. Not from worldly things, but God's wrath. We rejected our Creator, you do the math. Our hope is not in the world or our nation, but it is in Christ, our salvation. He reigns on David's throne, and on his kingdom the light has shone. I have to wonder, I have guessed, maybe through darkness we can see the light best. We celebrate the day of Jesus' birth. As a human, he walked the earth, doing what we could not do, living a life pure and true. Although he committed no sin, on the cross they pierced his skin. It was actually the plan all along, because Jesus did nothing wrong. He was vindicated by the Father, raised from the dead 3 days later. All who put their faith in Christ and believe it was because he sacrificed will be saved and restored and can declare that Jesus is Lord. Church, a great light has dawned. Let's lift up our heads and respond. Accomplished by the Lord Almighty's zeal, the blood of Christ can certainly heal. Not just physical, but life as a whole. We belong to God, body and soul. Remember who is enthroned above. Nothing can separate us from his love. Not depth or height. We have seen a great light. Amen.